Enjoying this beautiful weather that the Lord has sent our way. Let's do be in prayer for those that experienced some flooding yesterday and throughout the week. Ask the Lord to please be with them. And who would ever think that Cades Cove would flood? I'm figuring this up so high it couldn't flood, right? But remember, God covered the water, or the earth in water one day. So that just helps me to believe it even more. All right, this morning I'm glad the Lord that you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm not in jail this morning. I'm extremely grateful I'm not in hell this morning. And praise, don't even have to worry about it anymore. Hallelujah. If you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. This is one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. And a beautiful passage of scripture. And normally when I come here, I focus on Paul having discernment to determine that people that were unsaved, he used the manner that God provided for him to give them the gospel message. And, you know, we all need spiritual discernment when we talk to people. We all need to be able to be ready to detect if someone may or may not be saved. Now, we're not the Holy Spirit. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I personally do not know beyond a shadow of a doubt who's saved, who's not, beside myself. But God does put us in the paths of people to help them to know the truth, to help them to hear the gospel. And a lot of times when you really get down to it and you talk to people about salvation, you're going to find out whether they're saved or not. A saved person comes right out. I've been born again. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And then there's others who say, well, you know, when I was a kid, I was baptized or things of that nature. No, that should just set you right on track. Hey, I need to witness to this person. But with the help of the Lord this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 21. And before we go any further, I think the best thing we could do is pray. What do you think? And let's ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, I come to you. I thank you, Lord. I praise you that you are who you are, that you're so merciful and gracious. Father, as we go into your word this morning, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we need to hear from you and you alone. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would give us understanding and wisdom. And Father, that he would guide us into all truth this morning. Father, as we read these passages of scripture, the things that you have placed on my heart this week, the things that you would have me to address and to teach on, Lord, I pray that I would speak in a manner that people can understand. And Lord, that you would help us to see the truths that are contained in your word this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. What a blessed treasure you have given us. Father, the fact that we don't have to walk around wondering or being worried about what you might think or what you'd have us to do, you have written it down for us. Father, you have preserved it for us for all eternity. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to treat your word as such. Lord, what a wonderful, important tool that you have given us to be able to know you, to be able to obey you, to show our love for you. And Lord, I just pray this morning that everything that is done would bring you honor and glory. Please be at the other Sunday school classes. Of course, we want to pray for the preaching hour as it comes about, that you would be with the man of God as he brings the word, and that you would speak to all of our hearts. Father, help us to be able to truly say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Father, please help us. Help me. Hide me behind the cross. I ask this in Jesus' name for his honor and glory. Amen. Now, when you think about the Apostle Paul and you ponder his life, what a great testimony. What a wonderful demonstration of the power of God to overcome religion in someone's life, to help them to go from religion to a relationship, to help them to get to know Christ for who he really is and to confirm those things. For example, you know, Paul was very familiar with the scriptures before he was saved. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Hebrew, and of course these are requirements for him to be able to do the jobs that he had done while being a Pharisee, while being a lost man. But when God steps in, he gives clarity. He gives understanding. Of course, Paul was given the gospel directly from Jesus Christ himself. What a blessing that was. And so just keep that in mind, because at the beginning of chapter 17, he's doing what Paul is known to do. He went to Thessalonica. He's preaching the gospel. But the Thessalonians didn't want to hear it. They just didn't really want that. And by the way, there's still people today that don't want to hear the gospel. They're content with what they've been brought up on. They're content with their lost situation, even though many of them may not even realize they're lost, because they haven't heard the truth or they haven't received it. Some have heard and not received. There is a difference. And we need to make sure that all men have an opportunity to hear, but it's not our job to force it upon them. How many of you understand that? There's times that I've tried to force the gospel on somebody, and I got the results that I should have expected, even though I didn't expect the results I got. They rejected it right off the bat. And, you know, a lot of times when you share the gospel with someone and you try to tell them they need to be saved, they think that you are condemning them. How many of you understand that? We're not condemning them. They're condemned already. And we're just trying to help them to see that. And we need to make sure that we approach them in the right manner. And Paul did that. I believe he did that. But, of course, when the religious people stepped up, Paul just battened down the hatches. And he kept preaching. And he got a little bit more in-depth as far as calling them out. And I praise the Lord for that. So, anyways, there's a lot of problems that arose from them preaching the gospel. And others suffered persecution as well. You think about Jason. They said that they were accusing him and those with him of turning the world upside down. You know, people hate believers if we try to teach them about Christ because they think that we're trying to control them. They think that we are trying to brainwash them. In fact, if you're a true believer, the world considers you to be brainwashed and a deceiver. And because they hate Jesus, they're going to hate you. That's just all there is to it. Jesus warned us about that, so it shouldn't overwhelm us. And we shouldn't be taken by surprise on that. However, when we see what's going on, the brethren sent Paul further. Okay, we're going to pick up in verse 10. I hope you're there with me. It says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Paul didn't change his methods. Paul didn't look for a new way of reaching people. He did the same thing that he was instructed by God to do. You go and preach the word. He went into the synagogue. And of course, you know, in the synagogue, they represented the law. They taught the law. They taught the scriptures, which is good, but they misinterpreted them because they didn't know God. Well, here's one who was in that situation. Now he's coming unto his own people, and he was deceived at one time, but God revealed the light to him. And so he is just bringing them the truth. And that's all we should desire to do, is bring people the truth. Because someone cared enough about us to bring us the truth. Someone took the time to invest in our lives, to interrupt our schedule, if you will, to talk to us about Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that, and I hope that you are as well. But here we see he's doing the same thing. He hadn't changed methods. He's not looking for new ways to reach people. He's just doing what God said. Preach the word. Preach the word. In verse 11, there were talking about those of Berea, "These were no more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures every Sunday." I got to pay attention now. I'll do this every now and then. But they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And we've heard about the Bereans, and the Bereans are well spoken of. And I praise the Lord for this example of people that we have in the Word of God, who not only listened, they went to the synagogue, not just to go to the synagogue out of habit, but they went to hear. They went to listen. They had readiness of mind, as the Bible describes here. And brothers, I don't know about you, and I can't speak for you, but it is my goal that I prepare myself throughout the week for whatever service is next as far as receiving God's word. It takes work. It takes preparation. If we wait till late Saturday night to prepare our hearts, or even right before we arrive to church on Sunday to prepare our hearts to hear from the Word of God, we're not going to receive much. And we need to prepare our hearts throughout the week. We need to be praying for our pastor throughout the week. And anybody that's teaching, and that's very vitally important. But then the people had to receive the Word. The people had to be willing to listen to the word. And how many people have you run into? How many people have you run into in our society, in our community, that are willing to receive the word? They have prepared their mind to receive the word. Most people, when you start opening your mouth to talk to them about the Lord, they've already come up with an excuse or some reason why they cannot listen to you. And the reason is the God of this world has blinded them. The God of this world doesn't want them hearing the truth. But our God, our Heavenly Father, wants us to give them the truth. Now again, we are not to force feed them. We need to look for those that are looking for the truth. And we need to help them as much as possible. And so just keep that in mind as we think about this. But we found these Bereans. We found this group of people here in Berea that cared to know. They wanted to hear the word of God. But then they wanted to prove that what they heard was the truth. Now, there are many that darken the doors of churches throughout our nation, throughout Knoxville. They go in and they're going to listen to whatever is spewed from the pulpit. They're going to listen to whatever has been said, even the scriptures being read from the Bible. But how many go home? How many in their own study will go back and determine whether that is in accordance and agreement with the Word of God? That is something that we all need to do. It doesn't matter if I'm teaching, pastor teaching, whoever, whoever's up here preaching, and thank God we've got some good preachers and teachers, but the thing is, we always need to go back and make sure, is this true? Now, who do we go to? Do we go to Joel Osteen? Do we go to these others that are out there? Or do we go to the Word of God? Notice what it says. It says they search the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. How much time does the average Christian spend in the Bible? I can't answer you, but I can tell by the results of what I see in people's lives. Honestly, there's not a lot of time spent in the Scriptures. And you can see that not judging people, but just looking at the fruit that is produced. Many people don't touch their Bibles except for Sunday, except for Wednesday. Now, they use it as a relic, if you will, a holy relic. Hey, I've got a Bible. Well, it doesn't do you any good if you've got a Bible if you don't read it, if you don't look into it to see what it says. But the Bereans, they were not going to be deceived. And we need to have our hearts determined that way. We don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want to deceive you. Now, I am capable of lying. How many of you are capable of lying? Every single one of us. But my desire is not to lie to you. Because I've got to answer to someone. I've got to stand before the Holy One. And I'm going to give an account for everything that I've ever taught, everything that I've ever preached, everything that I've ever said. Every word God takes into account, He has a record of it. And so there's some things I'm like, oh boy. But here, I want to stand before God, the God who cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Why? Because He's the truth. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you think about that, that's what Jesus declared about Himself. But we want to be able to teach people the truth. Where do we find the truth? Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. The New Testament was not yet written. Now, it existed because the word of God is forever settled in heaven, but it was not yet in written form because He had not revealed it unto Paul and the likes of Paul to give these epistles and these books of the Bible that we are to study and that we are to look into so that we can know the mind of God. And when Jesus is giving His declaration that the Word of God is truth, we can build on that foundation. And I hope that you are building on that foundation. Listen, anytime anyone gets up here, don't just take what they've said, no matter how long they've been preaching, no matter how long they've been teaching. You make sure it's truth. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is by studying for yourself. Amen? So keep that in mind, if you will. And so let's continue reading. They went into the Scriptures. They searched it daily to make sure that they could see that this was the truth. Look at the result of this in verse 12. Therefore, many of them what? Believed. What did Paul give them? The gospel. What did they reference it to make sure it was the truth? The Scriptures. Okay? And because it lined up with what the Scriptures taught, therefore many of them believed. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer asked. Paul and Silas responded, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now Jesus Christ, of course, He came around about 2,000 years ago, and some people believe that's as old as He is. No, He's eternal. But some of them think, hey, Jesus has only been around 2,000 years. Oh, no, no, no. But we're not going to get into that today. But when you think about it, the Scriptures spoke of Christ. When He was on this earth, when He was dealing with people day in and day out, He told them often, search the Scriptures. Get into the Word of God. Delve into it. Dive into it. Study it. And we're going to get to that verse in a little bit because I've been referring to it quite a bit about studying. But here, He is talking to them. Paul was giving them the gospel. out of the scriptures. They searched it. They found out the truth. They believed. It says also of honorable women, which were Greeks. So not only did it reach the Jews, it also reached the Gentiles. And of men, not a few. The power that is in the Word of God is astounding. It's incredible. What power is in this, what people would consider to be an old book, an antique book? No, this is a living book. The Word of God is living and well today, and it works in our hearts. When we put the input in of reading His Word, it gives the Holy Spirit opportunity to confirm in our hearts and to teach us what is the truth. To guide us in all truth is one of the functions of the Holy Spirit as He continues to work in our hearts. But you think about that. Without the Word of God, without searching the Scriptures, these people would not have been saved. They would not have seen their need of Christ. But when it was given out and when it was shared with them, when they looked into it, people believed. It's a wonderful thing to consider what is going on here, the salvation of souls. What a blessing that is. Verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the Word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Do you think they encouraged the people? Oh, no, no. They were wanting to kill the people. They were wanting to cause division and ruckus, to cause problems for Paul and Silas because, listen, these people were no longer following after their religion. These people were following Christ. And boy, religion gets really mad when you start following Christ. There's a lot of religion. But listen, we need Christ. So here it is. They came. Listen, that not only did they reject the word when Paul was in their midst, those of Thessalonica, they went about and went out of their way to go and cause problems for him in this new place, this place called Berea. They did not want people to have salvation. They wanted people to be in bondage. They wanted people to be stuck in their religion, to reject this thing that they're hearing that they didn't like. And it's amazing how many lost people want to take other lost people with them to hell. And who's behind that? We know Satan's behind that. Listen, do you think Satan knows he's condemned already? Oh, he knows that he's done. He knows it, but God has given him a span of time to be able to do whatever he's going to do. But when every time that Jesus came to the and dealt with evil spirits and demons and devils, they recognized who he was. Are you here to judge us? It's not time to be judged, is it? And this was the worry of the demons. Now, they had more sense than a lot of people do. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he wants us to know the truth. But here, others came. Those that were under the control of Satan, they came and tried to stir up problems for Paul and Silas as they were preaching the truth. Verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him into Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them, he's waiting on Silas and Timotheus, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. Notice what it says. When he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. See, Paul's familiar with idolatry. You say, wait a minute, he didn't worship idols. No, but he worshiped a false god. He worshiped a false god. He worshiped himself, if you will. He was trusting in his words, keeping the law before he met Christ. Before he met the Lord, he was trusting in himself to get to heaven. He was trusting in his own righteousness, even though he had no righteousness, because he needed the righteousness of Christ. And he brings that out in Romans chapter 10, by the way, when you talk about these things. But here, while he was waiting for Silas and Timotheus, now I believe there's strength in numbers. How many of you believe that? And boy, it's so much easier to witness to someone when you have someone there beside you helping you. But he was there alone in Athens for this short span of time, and he was stirred because he saw the idolatry of the Athenians. Now, of course, we know they worship Zeus. They worship all these other different gods, and you've heard that mentioned before. But this worried him because he is not willing that any should perish, as God is not willing that any should perish. Are you willing that someone should perish in their sins? Every time that God impresses on us to share the gospel with someone and we don't do it, we're willing to allow them to perish in their sins. Now, we don't want to admit that, but that's the truth. And, of course, we're going to have blood on our hands. And I've got enough blood on my hands. I don't know about you. I don't want any more blood. And we need to continue to do our best to try to reach people. Let's continue on, though. But his spirit was stirred in him. That was the Holy Spirit working in his life, letting him see the need of these people. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers, keep that in mind, just hang on to that word if you will, philosophers, a lot of philosophy in the world today. Then certain philosophers, the Epicureans and of the Stoics, encountered him, and some said, what will this, notice what they called him, babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a set forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Let's continue on. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some, what's the next word? New thing. Now, how many of you believe the Word of God is forever settled in heaven? All right, that's something to keep in mind. The Epicureans, who were they? They were followers of Epicurus. He taught absolute peace could be attained by doing away with fear of gods and their wrath. Think of that. Do we have people to teach us don't believe in God today? You have people to tell us, oh, God's not serious about these things. You know, God's a God of love. God just wants you to be happy. Well, he wants you to be happy, but there's a way to be happy. Amen. So keep your minds on that, if you will. They encouraged people. The philosophy was to live life without worry, because one day you'll die and that's it. Is that the truth? We'll just die and that's all there is to it. Well, a lot of people live that way, don't they? Don't let religion burden you down. All these laws, all those thou shalt's and thou shalt not. You don't need to worry about that. We don't want you to have stress in your life. Just do what you want. That's basically their philosophy. Okay? Do all things moderately. Now, I grew up in the Methodist Church, United Methodist Church. That's the church that I was born into, if you will. And they taught, do all things in moderation. And I believe they meant that, because there was a lot of sinful things they did in moderation, too, and had no shame about it. And, it's humorous in a way, but it's very sad that people will take that philosophy and, you know, as long as we don't do too much, well, who speaks that way? Someone is hoping that their good will be outweighing their bad. Well, it's okay as long as I don't do too much. I mean, that's the thought I had in my life. I grew up that way until I got saved at the age of 21. I was thinking, hey, as long as I do one more good thing than I do a bad thing, I'm going to be okay. I'm glad God let me see that was not true. But this was their philosophy, the Epicureans. Do all things moderately, live stress-free, and basically, as we read in the Bible, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, hey, it doesn't matter. None of this is really real. You're not going to please the gods anyways. You might as well just do what you want. Well, listen, God gives us an opportunity to do what's right. And then you had the Stoics. They were taught by a philosopher named Zeno. They focused on rationalism and logic. Think about that. Emphasis on materialism. You need to focus on being happy, having the things in your life that will make you happy. And you know what? The more you have, the better off you are. And are there not certain Christians teaching today that if you'll do what God tells you to do, you're going to be blessed with riches beyond belief? That prosper gospel, what was it called? I'm not saying it right. Prosperity gospel, prosperity. They live by that, they preach that, and that's just not right either. So we need to keep these things in mind. But this is what the Epicureans and Stoics believed. But they were also, as it says in the scriptures, they were always looking for something new. Something that might appeal to them a little more than what they've already received. And of course, when Paul was there, he saw all the altars that the Athenians had built to all these different gods, and thankfully there was an altar to the unknown God. How many of you are familiar with that? So Paul, using good discretion, using an opportunity to take the opportunity to use that altar, I'll tell you who this God is. I'll tell you who he is. And of course he goes through that and he explains it to them through the rest of the chapter. And he gives them the gospel again. He tells them there's a coming judgment. Well, wait a minute. The Epicureans say, hey, we're just going to live and die. We don't have to worry about judgment. No, no, there's a judgment coming. And people that we know and love need to know that. People that we come into contact with, whether on purpose or by happenstance. I don't believe in happenstance, okay? I believe in divine appointments. But people that we come into contact with, they need to hear that there is a judgment day coming. They need to understand that they're condemned already, as I mentioned earlier. But that God is not willing for them to perish. But God would want them to be saved. And so keep that in mind, if you will. Each of these groups, whether it be the Bereans, whether it be the Epicureans or the Stoics, they all heard the preaching of God. The Epicureans and Stoics, they listened to Paul as he preached. Now they thought it was something new, and they wanted to hear it because, boy, hey, if it's something new, we might go to this. We might do this. How many of you realize that the Japanese culture, they have many gods as well, and they have no problem accepting Jesus plus their gods. Please listen to what I said. Jesus plus their gods. No, it's Jesus alone. And there are many societies, they'll accept Jesus as a prophet, they'll accept Jesus as a holy man, but they need to understand he's God the Son, that he is God, and that he is the only way that they're going to be saved. We are not to embrace Jesus and other gods. We are not to embrace Jesus and other gospels. Paul spoke on that. We need to make sure that people know the truth. And so as you think about this, they all heard the same word. Paul didn't change his preaching. He preached the same thing. He preached the gospel. He is the one that the Lord used to pin down 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, that it tells us about the scriptures. And especially in verses 3 and 4, it talks about his death according to the scriptures. Or death and burial according to the scriptures, and his resurrection according to the scriptures. Let's go ahead and turn here before I get too far off of what it's saying there. Keep your place here. We're coming back. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 3 and 4. Sorry, I'm not trying to get too excited. I'm excited. We've got the Word of God. I've got salvation. God wants to save others. God wants to use me to help others to get saved. God wants to use you to help others get saved. God saved me. Hallelujah. That's enough to be excited right there. But here in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, "For this is Paul speaking, of course, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." This is nothing new. He's not offering them some other gospel. He's offering them the same thing that saved him. Amen. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Now there's the key. This is according to what was already written in the Word of God. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Remember what the Bereans did when Paul brought them the message? They listened, but then they went and searched the scriptures to see if it was so. When they found out it was so, they trusted Christ. Hey, you know the best thing to do when we hear the truth? Receive it. Don't try to explain it away. Don't try to come up with excuses why you can't do it even though you know it's the truth. Well, I know, but... Be careful with that. That may be the last time you get an opportunity to make a decision. So please keep that in mind. But here, the scriptures, the importance of the Old Testament. How many churches are running away from the Old Testament today? How many people don't preach out of the Old Testament today? Well, that's the scriptures. You know, the rich man in hell, when he was calling out to Abraham, asking Abraham to send someone to his family that were lost, his brethren, his five brothers, Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets." He was talking about the scriptures. He was talking about the Word of God, the Old Testament. They have the Old Testament. They can get saved if they'll just listen to what it says about Jesus. And that's something that we need to understand. Listen, the New Testament didn't replace the Old Testament. The New Testament is in agreement with the Old Testament. And it's all to reveal Jesus Christ. It's all about him. And yet, how many people have gotten away from making it all about him?
and salvation that he is offering to anyone that would be saved. So as we think about that, it's a wonderful thing that God has given us. But again, these groups, they, especially the Stoics and the Epicureans, they were looking for something new. Now, keep holding your place in Acts. We will come back, but go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, if you will. While I'm turning there, how many of you think that Solomon was a hypocrite? Nobody? Oh. How many people think that David is a hypocrite? He committed adultery. He murdered somebody. Did he not? Yet the Bible says in the New Testament, David is a man after God's own heart. Solomon went crazy. 300 wives, 700 concubines. Oh my goodness. Think about it. Can we trust what they say? Well, if you look at it as this being their writings, then probably not. But if you look at it the way God told us to look at it, that these are the writings of God. He spake unto holy men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And he told them what to write down. See, a lot of times people say, hypocrite, and they don't want to see anything that that person has to say. But I would dare say, please don't get offended with me, that every one of us is a hypocrite today. Now, don't get offended at me. I'm admitting I'm a hypocrite at times, okay? I don't want to be. And if it was based on receiving God's word, on my actions, I'd have no hope for you receiving the word of God. But I'm presenting to you the word of God. The authority is not on me. It's his authority. And this is something we need to understand. No matter who's preaching, no matter how we hear the word of God, we need to understand that it's God's word. The Bereans had that already settled in their mind in the synagogue as they heard the word of God. They went back and searched the word of God to confirm what they heard. And again, that's great advice for you and I. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Are you there with me? The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. Now here's what I want you to see. And there is no new thing under the sun. And yet, even in our society, in our generation, people are still looking for something new. Seeking teachers, having itching ears. Hello? Why do you think the prosperity gospel is so popular today? Hey, I can live like I want as long as I give tithes and I'll be okay. Well, we're still going to have a judgment day. Keep that in mind, if you will. And so nothing's going to change. But then now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, I'll just go ahead and quote it. Study to show thyself, not others. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? The word of truth. Now, here's the argument you're going to find. Well, that was one pastor telling another pastor that he needs to study. Child of God, every bit of the Bible is just as much for us as it is for anyone else. And while would you look at what is taking place here, the context, yes, Paul was instructing Timothy. But what was Timothy doing with the things that he was instructed? Remember, Paul told him to seek out faithful men and to train them. Yes or no? Do you realize that we are all to be looking for someone to train? It could be children. It could be other men. It could be other women. Did God not establish holy men to train other men and holy women to teach the women also? Or to teach the younger women? This is exactly the plan of God. What did he want them to teach? The word of God. But we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. I even use this with children that are in school or people that are in college or university, whatever. Study to show yourself approved. Well, I don't like study. Well, no, nobody does, really. It is a weariness to the flesh, is it not? But we need to do it to show ourselves approved unto who? To God. And if we believe that the scriptures are the word of God, if we believe the Bible is the word of God, then we need to take this and we need to put it into practice in our lives. Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 39, told them to search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. The scriptures, what was he referring to? The Old Testament. He was referring to the scriptures that had already been brought by the prophets. And of course, I've already talked about the gospel that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
And so there are those that will seek God's word to find purpose and truth. I hope that's you. I hope that you are listening to God's word, seeking God's word, studying God's word, that you can find purpose for your life, and that you are grounded in the truth. However, there are still those that will continue to seek vain philosophy, empty philosophy. Let me put it this way, man's opinion. Man's opinion. How many of you are glad you're not going to stand before me at Judgment Day? I'm not worthy for you to stand before me at Judgment Day. I'm going to be standing before the Holy One. Amen? But we need to be able to be prepared to know what is truth. Why are people always looking for a new thing? Because they have already rejected something that has been established. If they admit that the Bible is the Word of God, that means they are accountable for the sins that they're doing. They are accountable for the things that they know to be wrong. But if they can deny the Word of God, if they can say, well, that's not my philosophy, well, that sounds good before man, but it has no bearing before God. It has no importance before God. Now, are you willing to risk eternity to follow man and follow a man that says things that you want to hear? Or is it more important to you to know what God has said, accept it, and do your best to do what he'd have you to do? These groups that listen to the preaching of God's word, Bereans, Epicureans, Stoics, why did they want to hear new things? Why did they want to hear what they were hearing? Some wanted to know so they could find out how to have eternal life, right? And some of them found it, did they not? Think about it. Praise the Lord for that. Some, listen, those of you that are already saved, we need to hear the truth, maybe so that we can use it to teach others, to reach others. We need to sow the word of God. Think about the parable of the sower. You could probably line it up with what's taking place here in Acts chapter 17. The word was given, the seed was given, but how it was received depended on the results that yielded. You see what I'm saying? And how you receive the word of God will also determine what is yielded. The same thing for me. It's just as much for me as it is for anybody else. Hey, I may know things in the Bible. Hey, I may be even teaching the Bible, preaching the Bible. But what do I do with the word that I have received? Do I just take my favorite verses and run with them? Do I just take the favorite doctrines and say, okay, but I'm going to do away with the written? No, we can't do that. It's not beneficial. It's not wise. But what we can do is receive it. But what about those Epicureans and Stoics? Why do you think they listened? Well, they were looking for something new. They're hoping to find something better than what they already have. Aren't you glad we don't have anything better than what we already have? Child of God. We've got the Word of God. Maybe they were trying to appear wise to others. You know, that vanity, that pride. I want you to look up to me. I don't want you to look up to me. I want you to look to God. I want you to look at the one as perfect and holy and righteous. We need him. But why were they doing this? They're just hoping something's going to come along new that will fit their opinions, that will fit their mold of what they think ought to be. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is still in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We don't need to be looking for things that appease us. We need to look for that that appeases him, that pleases him. John 8, 32, you're probably familiar with it. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If there's anything you want to hear, it ought to be new truth. I mean, by the way, something that is new to you may not be new to me. How many of you understand that? I'm talking about the brethren. There are things I believe God reveals to us from the point that we get saved until the day that he either takes us home or we get raptured out of here. He reveals things that are new to us, but they're not new in the Word of God. Does that make sense? And boy, there's an excitement when you hear something new that you hadn't seen before. I mean, I get excited. I praise God for God revealing things to other men that are representing the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, and it's something I hadn't seen before, and I go, woo, yeah, I like it. Amen? But it's not new. It's just new to me. But these were looking for something new that hasn't been yet. Well, remember Ecclesiastes 1:9, there's nothing new under the sun. But revelation is a little bit different as far as what God reveals to us as we study to show ourselves approved unto him. As we hear the preaching of God's word. How many of you realize that just because I'm up here preaching doesn't mean I don't need to hear the word of God? I need to read the word of God. I need to study, but I also need to hear the preaching. The foolishness of preaching is what God uses to stir our hearts. And again, there's things that I may not have known before, but because now I've heard it and God has revealed it, it's new to me, but it doesn't change the word of God. And the lost are looking for something new that goes contrary to the word of God. We need to avoid that. Amen? And now, for the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, as we go back to Acts chapter 17, I ask you to turn there. Let me know when you get there by saying amen. Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. Another word for that is religious. Religious but lost. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, do you know the lost have devotions? I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein. Notice he didn't support evolution. How many people have swallowed evolution today? Amen. He declared from the beginning there was a creator. He created, made the world, all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, this is not a Calvinism, determined the times before appointed and bounds of their habitation. Now this may seem ridiculous to you. Do you know God created black people? Do you know God created Asian people? God created Caucasians and everything in between. Do you know that God, through that one blood, Adam's blood, has created all mankind? But thank God he also created second Adam. And through his blood, we can all be redeemed. But here, he's letting them know, look, I don't care where you're from, whether you're Jew, Greek, it doesn't matter. God created you. He is the creator. He's the one that made you. Amen? Verse 27, why did he create you? That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him, talking about in God, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold. What are most idols made out of? Or silver or stone graven by arts and man's device. Aren't you glad we don't have a God that's man-made? Hello? And the times of this what? What is ignorance and what is stupidity? Ignorance you don't know. Stupidity is you know. And you're still going to go against it, right? Ignorance, listen, we were all ignorant to the truth at one time. But when truth is revealed to us, then we need to accept it, receive it, and put it into practice. All right? But at times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. Who's that speaking of? Jesus Christ. Now here is the decisions that were made. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Do people still mock the resurrection today? Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. There was some interest sparked in their lives. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him, and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. And in closing, what I want you to see, they all heard the same word. Paul didn't change his message. He was still preaching the gospel. But what they did with the word made the difference in the decisions that they made. Some chose to rebuke God, rebuke the word. If they continued that way until the day they died, they lifted up their eyes in hell. However, there was those others, they didn't quite believe just yet, but it sure did spark some interest in them. It sure did get a hold of them where they said, you know what, I want to hear some more about this. And by the way, let's don't burn bridges when we talk to people about the gospel and they reject it the first time. Don't burn your bridge. Still love that person. Still try to reach that person. Now, there's a time to shake the dust off your feet. I understand that. But there are others, listen, they may be the first time they've ever heard and it doesn't make sense. But something inside them is like, hey, you ought to listen to this. Then there's others, and boy, here's where it's worth it all. They believed. They got saved. And it all came from him being faithful, giving the word, but them listening to the word, searching to make sure it's true, and receiving it. And I want to encourage you, let's be the person giving out that word just like Paul. If you haven't received the word, I want to encourage you to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning. Amen? A lot of people come to church for many reasons to hear things, but what do they do with what they hear? Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for your eternal word that we can trust in. Father, I pray that you would help all of us to apply this in our lives. Father, help us to be soul conscious. Lord, help us to be concerned about others and their eternal destiny. We want you to be pleased with us. Father, I pray that you would use us to make the difference in someone's life, that we would present the gospel to them, we would represent you well before them, that they could believe and be saved as well. Lord, help us to water, help us to plant. We know that you're the one that gives the increase. Father, I pray if there's anyone here this morning, maybe they've been looking, they're wanting to hear something new, they're wanting to hear what might be right, something that might help them. Lord, help them realize your word is forever settled and you are exactly what they need. Father, I ask these things in Christ's name for his honor and glory. Amen.